Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Representative Dooling and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Dear Heavenly Father, today we gather before you with humble and grateful hearts as we pray for our fellow legislators, our staff, and all that enter into this hallowed and glorious building. Father, we ask that you grant them the wisdom to navigate these difficult issues and tasks with grace, respect, and humility for one another. Please give them open hearts and open minds to represent and advocate for the needs of their constituents and all Montanans. We pray that they take their leadership roles seriously and that you guide them to serve with honesty and integrity. And finally, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together on this beautiful day with our colleagues. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The clerk will take the roll.
Mr. Speaker, 98 members are present. Representatives Essman and Weatherwax are excused.
A quorum is present and the House is ready for business. Are there any introductions? Representative Laura Smith.
Mr. Chair, I request to be off the record now of the journal for purposes of an announcement.
So ordered.
Members of the body, I'd like to invite you to an event that's happening in the Rotunda tomorrow in celebration of the Week of the Young Child. It is a reading at the Rotunda event from 9 to 11 tomorrow morning, and it's hosted by our local Child Care Connections. I hope you'll join us. Thank you.
Representative Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for an introduction.
So ordered.
Today, my two worlds have collided. My students, their fifth graders at Emerson Elementary in Butte, America, have come to visit, and it is one of their 12th birthdays, so Garrett Hancock's 12th birthday.
Welcome to the House. Representative Carlin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an announcement.
So ordered.
Members of the body, the Montana Professional Firefighters invite you to attend barbecue night tonight, beginning at 5:30 at the firehouse on 200 North Montana Street. Hope to see you there. Thank you.
Representative Deming.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of an introduction.
So ordered.
Did that by memory. Up in the gallery up here, folks, we have Yellowstone County Commissioner John Osland.
Welcome to the House. Representative Nave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Up here in the gallery, I would like to be off the record and out of the journal for purposes of an introduction.
So ordered.
Up here in the gallery, we have Mr. Blake Erfel, who is the History, Government, Social Studies teacher from Rappelejay. And we have looks like five members of the junior class here today. So I would like to introduce Blake Erfel, Chaperone Paul, and Caden, Axel, Waylon, Jacob, and Alex, here from Rappelejay High School.
Welcome to the House. Representative Marler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I be off the record and out of the journal for a holiday greeting?
So ordered.
Thank you. I wanted to rise and say happy Ramadan to all those who are celebrating in Montana, including several of my friends, and happy Passover to the members of our body who celebrate Passover, and my Jewish family and friends and people watching this episode of your House of Representatives. Thank you.
Order business number one, communications and petitions.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, a committee on business and labor recommend that Senate bills 165, 236, 262, 269, 310, 451 be concurred in, 380 be concurred in as amended. Signed, Representative Ed Buttrey, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we are committee on local government recommend that Senate bills 174, 220, 275 be concurred in, 245, 323, 327, 381, 382, 407 be concurred in as amended. Signed, Representative Larry Brewster, Chair. Mr. Speaker, Rear Committee on State Administration recommend that Senate Bills 93, 322, 393, 498 be concurred in as amended. Signed, Representative Julie Dooling, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number three, reports of select committees.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number four, messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the Senate to inform the House of Representatives of the following actions. The following Senate bills were on this day read three several times and passed, title and history agreed to, and are herewith returned and transmitted to the House for concurrence. Senate Bill 14, Hertz, 160, Molnar, 296, Beard, 334S, 442, Lang, 516, Gross, 518, Manzella, 521, Vance, 522, Zolnikov, 523, Hertz, 524, Hertz, 528, Hertz, 529, Hertz, 530, Hertz, 531, Solomon, 533, Nolan, 534, McGilvery, 535, Lynch, 538, Friedel, 540, Zolnikov, 543 Boldman, 544 Curdy, 550 Hertz, 554 Hertz, 555 Hertz, 557 Nolan, 558 Morgeau, 559 Trebus, 561 Heinbaugh, 563 Bogner, 564 McGilvery, 565 Hertz, 566 Hertz, 122 Hertz, 253 Hertz, 298 Molnar, 506 Hertz, 507 Zolnikov, 510 Fitzpatrick, 536 Hertz. The following Senate bill is herewith transmitted to the House. This bill requiring a two-thirds vote of the entire legislature received a 22-28 vote. Senate Bill 272, Manzella. The following House bills, House joint resolutions, are herewith returned to the House. House Bill 81, Mitchell, 158, Kazmaier, 159, Kazmaier, 264, Bertolio, 388, Kazmaier, 418, Fitzgerald, 425, Kirk Carpenter, 560, Sheldon Galloway, 584, Nicola Kakos, 585, Weatherwax, 639, Mercer, 641, Zolnikov, 663, Kearns, 767, Kazmaier, 777, Buttrey, 809, Logie, House Joint Resolution 14, Sheldon Galloway. The following amendments to the following was concurred in on third reading. Senate Bill 86, Morgeau. The following House bills are herewith returned to the House for concurrence and Senate amendments. House Bill 203, Beattie, 567, Cafaro, 619, Keogh, 738, Fitzgerald. Sincerely, Marilyn Miller, Secretary of the Senate. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number five, messages from the governor.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number six, first reading commitment of bills.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number seven, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no, and the ayes have it. And I appoint Representative Hopkins, Chair of the Committee of the Whole, for the day.
Members of the committee will please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 23. A clerk will read the title.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 23, introduced by Trebus, a bill for an act entitled an act removing the Department of Revenue from the condominium declaration recording process, requiring a county to approve condominium declaration recordings, amending section. Mr. Chair.
Representative Galloway, what is your pleasure?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and body. Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 23, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good body. I can see through the sunlight. Probably the shortest bill we've had. It's just changing from Department of Revenue to county on recording. Simple bill. Vote green. Thanks. Bye.
Is there discussion? There being no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Galloway that when this body does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 23, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate Bill 23 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 28. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 28, introduced by Lang, a bill for an act entitled, an act transferring tax revenue from marijuana sales to the Department of Natural Resources and Conservation for grants to conservation districts, providing for an inflation-adjusted increase, amending section, providing an effective date. Mr. Chair.
Representative Malone, what is your pleasure?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 28, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Malone.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, this is Senate Bill 28. This is improved funding for conservation districts. For those of you who are unfamiliar with conservation districts, these are mandated by the state of Montana from this body a number of years ago. And it's important that there's five elected individuals on each one of the 58 conservation districts in this state. They work a lot with improving conservation for rural Montana and cities. One of the biggest things they do is 310 permits. So for those of you who are not familiar with this, 1975, this body... stated that the conservation districts of Montana shall be in charge of the Stream Bank Preservation Act. It's one thing they forgot to do is send a check with it. So they're basically unfunded mandate. These people are basically volunteers, although they are elected. None, to my knowledge, get any salary. What this funding basically, they were funded by the Coal Trust Act, which is going downhill, as we all know. And basically, this organizations are seeking continued funding using some money from the marijuana tax, the marijuana portion of this tax that goes to the general fund. So the funds come out of the general fund. They're not designated for anything particular. It's, as you can see from the fiscal note, they're about $2.5 million from coal tax, and they're seeking roughly about the same thing, if I remember right, from the general fund part of from the marijuana tax. So I appreciate a green vote. These people work hard. We had good testimony in all the committees, and Senator Lang is looking forward to a green light. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Representative Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Carrier just did a great job of explaining the conservation district. As he said, there are 58. It's largely an unfunded mandate, largely manned by volunteers. I think it would be really important for this body to show their support and to adequately fund the conservation districts. So I'm really pleased to support this measure and hope you'll join us in doing so.
Further discussion, Representative T. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But I like the sponsor and the carrier. They're both great guys. And, of course, I support ag and conservation districts. The issue is where the money comes from for supporting such endeavors. I believe the marijuana tax revenue should go strictly to health care, like the pilot program we passed yesterday, where we have the halfway house for people suffering from addiction. We need to remember that the drug dealers want to keep people addicted to substances. And if we pass this bill, then we've also made the government addicted to the money and the revenue from the people that are struggling with these addictions. So tax revenue from marijuana should go to strictly helping people, conservation districts. We need to find some other place to fund them because we do need them, and I do support them, but they need to be funded from any other source other than marijuana revenue. So let's not have our local government dependent on some of the illnesses that are caused by marijuana. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion, 6 in the queue, Representative Nave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate my colleague across the way here because I, too, am going to oppose this bill. I am very supportive of agriculture, and I am supportive of conservation districts, but there are better ways to do this. We passed a bill earlier this session that puts money into the puts marijuana money into the general fund and then disperses it. And from that disbursement, there's I believe it's $2.5 million that already goes to conservation districts. I don't think that this is the appropriate way to do it. I think that we have already passed something that is a better way to do it. And so I will oppose this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Schillinger.
Mr. Chair, speak to the bill. As noted a number of times here already, there are a number of bills in play that have been through here and some that haven't yet even that address conservation districts. This is just another one of those, and I think we should keep it in play. It's a good bill, and I would encourage a green vote.
Further discussion, Representative Perry.
Mr. Chair, good body. We actually, in 321, a previous bill, have money going into a fund that's being established within the coal severance tax fund for conservation districts. One of the things that I really do want to call to our attention is we consistently keep putting all kinds of programs into the coal severance fund, and we're saying coal's going away. And we got people on the other side that don't want coal to happen. So either quit putting and taking money out of coal or support coal. I support this bill.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Sprunger.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to make disclosure.
Apologies, Representative Sprunger. Could you repeat yourself?
Mr. Chair, I just wish to disclose that we have a contract with the DNRC in relation with conservation districts and could potentially hypothetically benefit from this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion, Representative Gunderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Great bill. We need to keep it moving. Vote green.
Further discussion, Representative Fitzpatrick.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, if you look at the numbers, that's a 60% increase in the budget between 2024 and 2027. No other agency is going to get anywhere near that.
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
I do, Mr. Chair. Thank you for all the good comments. This bill, as we said, came out of committee. It didn't have any amendments there. Senator Lang has worked hard on this bill, and we need to keep it in play, keep the conservation districts funded. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The sponsor is closed. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Malone that when this body does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 28, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 62 representatives have voted aye. 38 have voted no.
Senate Bill 28 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 55. The clerk will read the title.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 55, introduced by Heinbaugh, a bill for an act entitled An Act Entering the Interstate Mining Compact, agreeing to the requirements of the compact, authorizing the governor to appoint a designee to the commission, allowing the Department of Environmental Quality to fund membership in the commission, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Gist?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 55, that recommends the same do be concurred in.
Representative Gist.
Members of the body, today I'm happy to bring you Senate Bill 55. This will just allow Montana to join the Interstate Mining Compact Commission. There's 24 states already in this. We are an associate member at this time, along with one other state. And once they become, there will be 26 states. Once we take in, we're in it year number four. We have up to year number five. Thus is the reason we need to bring this legislation this session, because next session we will not be a part of it otherwise. The Interstate Mining Commission provides a voice for the federal level for any of the law changes that are being proposed. It provides for constant eye on federal registry and lets the DEQ know that changes are about to be approved. This comes to us as a request from DNRC. We had a lot of proponents. It's come through the bodies with a lot of strong support, and I just ask for a due pass.
Thank you, members. Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Gist that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 55, I recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 98 representatives have voted aye, 2 have voted no.
Senate Bill 55 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 60. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 60, introduced by Temple, a bill for an act entitled, an act creating the Montana State Reference Network Enterprise Fund, authorizing the Montana State Library to administer the State Reference Network, providing rulemaking authority and providing an effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Sprunger?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 55, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Sprunger.
Mr. Chair. All right, folks, I took some time digging into this one. It's fairly technical. I'm going to try to sum it up for you today. Senate Bill 60 creates the Enterprise Fund to support the Montana Real-Time Network. And if you're wondering what that is, here's how it works. The Montana Real-Time Network has a set of fixed GPS reference stations throughout the state that are connected via the internet to provide highly accurate positional information. That information is stored in the state library and is available to subscribers of the program and our state agencies. Versus traditional GPS that you might be used to using, where you have put in a destination and you end up in the middle of a field or your destination is over the hill, this one is incredibly accurate, right down to a few centimeters. This makes all the difference for many operations, especially when it comes to time-consuming, highly precise work such as surveying. The current network was established in 2018 and was funded with a mix of NVT dollars and one-time-only funding secured by the Montana State Library. This Senate bill allows the state to shift the cost from these state agencies' funding sources to the users that will use it through subscription fees. The goal is establishing the Enterprise Fund is to have the real-time network start to pay for itself over the next 5 years and become self-sustaining. We had a number of proponents in committee that were highly enthusiastic about this technology and are eager to pay for the service if made available. This network can be leveraged to save time and reduce costs on every survey or other type of location information collection project. Just to give you an example, you probably know I work with the Department of Transportation regularly. Surveying is a huge challenge for us. It's hard to find folks to even fill these positions, but realistically, on a 10-mile project, it would take 4 to 5 surveyors 6 weeks to get things surveyed and laid out. With a real-time network, we're talking about 2 folks doing that over the course of a week. Realistically, MDT estimates that we could save $1.5 to $2 million per year just in surveying cost. And realistically, since we're having a hard time filling those positions, this is a way to make our projects a lot more efficient. So I think it's well worth consideration. This network will also provide a wide range of organizations from local government to agriculture to transportation with access to this information if they become subscribers. And it will help organizations identify everything from water shutoff mains and utilities to the parameters for precision farming operations. The applications are vast and the interest in the state is high. So I would certainly ask for a green light. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Members, is there a discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Sprunger that when this body does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 60, it recommend that the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 91 representatives have voted aye, 9 have voted no.
Senate Bill 60 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 63. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 63, introduced by Zolnikov, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising alcoholic beverage laws, revising license terminology, revising laws relating to the manufacture of alcoholic beverages for personal use, and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Zolnikov?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 63, it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Zolnikov.
Good bill, vote green.
Is there discussion on the bill, Representative Zolnikov?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Speak to the bill. Senate Bill 63 is a bill that was requested by the Department of Revenue. This is a cleanup. It's part of the governor's red tape initiative. It clarifies lawful production of alcoholic beverages for personal and family use, and it provides an avenue for active service members to ship their alcohol beverage collections back to Montana after residing in another state. And lastly, it clarifies that products may be kept for sale by a licensee, and it more accurately uses specific alcoholic beverage terms. It is estimated to have no impact on the industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Is there a discussion on the bill? Is there a discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The motion now arises. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Zolnikoff that when this body does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 63, they recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 93 representatives voted aye, 7 voted no.
Senate Bill 63 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 64. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 64, introduced by Zolnikoff, a bill for an act entitled, an act providing for a written agreement to extend the statute of limitations on individual income tax assessment, amending section providing applicability date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Brewster?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 64, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Brewster.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill comes to you by request of the Department of Revenue. So this Senate Bill 64 provides individual income taxpayers and the Department of Revenue the opportunity to extend an individual's three-year statute of limitations for making changes to their individual tax return upon passage, when the Department of Revenue and the taxpayer mutually agree upon the extension, the tax period will be extended. Individual income taxpayers can now suspend their federal statute of limitations through a mutual extension with the IRS to work through their federal income tax issues. An extension exists with the IRS, or when an extension exists with the IRS, the Montana statute of limitations is concurrently suspended. However, no opportunity for a taxpayer to extend their Montana return or limitations are separate from the federal return. This language is copied from 1513-509, which allows corporations, the Department of Revenue, to enter into a mutually agreed upon extension. While corporations are currently afforded this convenience, individual income taxpayers are not. There are occasions when the Department of Revenue and an individual taxpayer need more time to work through a complex tax issue or to resolve differing interpretations of law than the three-year statute of limitations allows. Mutually agreed upon extensions are a good option for resolving these issues without the need for lengthy and costly appeals. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Is there a discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Brewster that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 64, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye. One has voted no.
Senate Bill 64 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration Senate Bill 65. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 65, introduced by Zolnikoff, a bill for an act entitled, an act revising the statute of limitations for income tax refunds and credits, providing conformity with the Internal Revenue Code, amending section, providing effective date and an applicability date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Kearns?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 65, we recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Kearns.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, also by the request of the Department of Revenue, this revises the statute of limitations for income tax refunds and credits, providing conformity with the Internal Revenue Code. This bill clarifies instances when individual tax and corporate tax refunds can be issued outside of the three-year statutory deadline for refunds. This bill has no financial impact, but does provide clarity to taxpayers who are filing delinquent income tax returns. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Kearns that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 65 that I recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate Bill 65 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 68. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 68, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled, an act revising laws related to coroner inquests regarding deaths in a prison or correctional facility, providing that the coroners who are peace officers may conduct inquests regarding deaths in a prison or correctional facility, amending section, providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Durham?
Mr. Chair, I move that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 68, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Durham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A request from the Department of Corrections has to do with inquests. You'll see on current law, on the first page, line 14, inquest, definition. Inquest is a formal inquiry into the causes and circumstances surrounding the death of a person and is conducted by a coroner before the coroner's jury. Down on line 19, a county attorney shall order the coroner to hold an inquest for the death of a person. On the second page, this is what's being changed. A coroner who serves as a peace officer may not conduct an inquest into the death of a person who, and then list those circumstances in particular on line 6, the person died in a prison or other correctional facility. You'll see the changed language operated under the jurisdiction. The key here is on line 11, the change is a change from a coroner or peace officer, to the change from a neighboring county to another jurisdiction. I think it's a minor change. It's a good change. An easy green. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? Representative Zephyr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the body, I rise in opposition to this bill. When we heard it in committee, there were some good reasons for this bill coming forward. One being the number of coroners that we're seeing are shifting from, they used to be majority non-peace officer, and they're now shifting more towards being peace officers. And so there was a need articulated, and that makes sense to me. The place that I struggle with, though, is again on that page 2, subsection 4, part 3. It's prior to this legislation, a peace officer coroner would not be able to do that formal inquiry into the causes and circumstances if the person was killed by a police officer. And to me, that makes sense because you do not want peace officers running an investigation into the causes of death of someone who was killed by a police officer. The change here in this bill says serving in the same jurisdiction as with the idea that, oh, if they're in the same jurisdiction, that would be a conflict there, but if they're not, that wouldn't be. But I think we know that our peace officers, in their daily jobs, are coordinating across jurisdictions. And so to me, given the fact that we'll have a peace officer examining a cause of death for someone who was killed by a peace officer, that is enough for me to vote no on this bill, and I would urge you to do the same. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Is there further discussion on the bill? There being none, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Ms. Chair. I'll be real brief. I think it's important to note on line 11, we're not talking about Joe Ovage, patrol officer. We're talking peace officer coroner. So these are officers that have gone through additional training, and that's a specialty within the field and or a coroner. It's important to note also that their investigation is under the strict scrutiny of their local county attorney. Again, I think this is an easy bill to vote yes on. I request due concur Senate Bill 68.
Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Durham that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 68, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 85 representatives voted aye, 15 have voted no.
Senate Bill 68 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 84. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 84, introduced by Brown, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Laws for Aircraft Use in Relation to Wildlife and National Forest Lands, defining aircraft to include unmanned aerial vehicles and other airborne devices for the purposes of hunting, hazing, harassing, and otherwise interacting with wildlife, removing the obligation for the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to permit aircraft activity in National Forest Land, amending section, providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Marler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 84, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Marler.
Thank you. I'm excited to carry this bill. Let me start by saying it's already illegal to use an aircraft to hunt, haze, or harass wildlife in the state of Montana. This bill is very straightforward. It simply adds unmanned aerial aircraft, aka drones, to the category of aircraft. If you look at page 1, line 3, that is where that definition is clarified by saying that the aircraft can be manned or unmanned. Page 1, line 3. And another good change that comes in this bill is on page 6, line 22. Make sure I'm telling you the right page. It says that it changes some words that says you can't use your aircraft in the same hunting day that you use it to scout animals. You have to wait until the next calendar day. So maybe you're not hunting one day, but you're hunting the next calendar day. And that's fine. I hope that we can support this reasonable and pretty small update, which is good for wildlife and it's good for fair chase hunting. Thanks.
Thank you, members. Is there a discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Marler that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 84, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate Bill 84 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration Senate Bill 95. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 95, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Sentencing Laws for Theft, Failure to Return Rented or Leased Property, Issuing a Bad Check, Deceptive Practices, and Forgery, and Amending Section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Rusk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 95, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Rusk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the top of your pile now is Senate Bill 95. In sum, it simply restores enough consequences to the crimes of theft, forgery, deceptive practices, and bad checks so as to make the old adage that crime doesn't pay true again. In these cases, discussion of this subject would quickly lead us to a fundamental philosophical difference that exists between some of us, and that is in no small measure the reason for this bill. But out of respect for those who see it another way, and for brevity's sake, I will lay it aside for now, and for passage today, we need only look to the merits, which I believe will be found to be self-evident. No philosophy needed. The first 10 pages of SB 95 are a host of definitions, even including what a human being is, and which reminds us of the lengths to which a criminal mind will go to evade the law. The remainder of it spells out the penalties for the offenses I stated at the outset. We often hear the expression, the teeth of the law, and at the risk of overuse, I would say that the consequences as they would stand with the passage of this bill are neither the mere gums of the law that don't bite, nor the fangs of the law that won't let go. Rather, they are those age-old chompers of law and order that are absolutely essential to the liberty and tranquility that we hold dear. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? Representative L. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have the best metaphors. I don't have any metaphors in my comments. Members, this one was an interesting one in committee. So I have prosecuted these offenses, and so when I went going into this hearing, I wanted some data about what's going on in our state related to theft. And one of the things that struck me is that theft is actually decreasing. I believe the data point that was presented was about 16% decrease. And so then I went looking for another piece of data, which is, do we have any information about whether increasing penalties and increasing prison time actually has the deterrent effect that we're looking for? And there was no evidence presented in that regard, and the information that I found actually suggested that it doesn't. And so in looking at those two pieces of data, I took a closer look at the language of the bill, and I'm concerned that it really takes away the nuances of the way that the current theft statutes are written. So if you look at the provision that really increases the first, second, and third offenses, by the time you get to the third, regardless of what type of theft in that category, you're looking at a mandatory minimum of 30 days. And I cannot tell you how many sentencing hearings that I've been in where the ability of a judge to take into account the nuances of a specific crime has benefited both parties, not just one. And so I will be opposing the bill today because I am concerned that it sort of takes a hammer to the nuances of the way that the statute is already working, and it's working well. And then in conjunction with the data that I talked about really led me to a path of voting no for this bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, members. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close?
I would, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I would just leave us with the fact that by nature, the crimes this bill addresses are both tedious to expose and expensive to prosecute. We have the opportunity here today, with a green vote, to return to law enforcement the straw of consequences with which they make the bricks of justice. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Rusk that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 95, I recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 67 representatives have voted aye, 33 have voted no.
Senate Bill 95 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 96. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 96, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled, an act creating a separate definition for a persistent felony offender under supervision and amending sections. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Durham?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 96, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Durham.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an important bill. Admittedly, and I'll be the first to say this, a lot of people in jail we don't really need protection from, but some of the people in jail we certainly do. This bill reflects those people. You'll see in the bill title, persistent felony offender under supervision. That is absolutely the person that we need to protect our neighbors from. You'll see on page 3 some of the changes. It changes the definition of persistent felony offender. You'll see some of the changes there in that paragraph. I'll point out that if you're going to be a persistent felony offender, at least one of those three felonies must be a sexual offense. Back to my original statement, this is who we need to protect our neighbors from. Persistent felony offender under supervision, down on line 19. That really begins the meat of the bill, what's being changed, that definition. Without covering every single line, I don't know I'd convince anybody that isn't already convinced, but this is an important classification that we need to protect our neighbors from these persistent felony offenders. And might I add, that are already under supervision. We've given them their sentence, we've applied our education, we've done our best to help them integrate with society. We've put them in society, we're helping them get their feet underneath them, and they still want to inflict harm on their neighbors. Mr. Chair, this is an important bill. Please pass Senate Bill 96.
Thank you, members. Is there discussion on the bill, Representative Howell?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I rise to oppose this bill. I want to note, first of all, that the persistent felony offender that the good carrier mentioned is existing statute, and you can see that on page 3, starting in line 4. And my committee mate correctly pointed out that for that existing persistent felony offender classification, one of those felonies must be a sexual or violent offender. And that makes sense. This is a specific public safety risk that is being addressed. But what this bill is doing is creating a new classification that actually does not include the sexual or violent offender, the sexual or violent offense to be one of the three felonies that add up to persistent felony offender under supervision. So you can see on page 3 down on page 19, what we're doing now is we're creating a new classification. This is someone who commits a third or subsequent felony while on supervision, so probation, parole, conditional release. It is not required that any of those three felonies be violent in nature at all. And you'll see, flipping to page 4, that the only felonies that we are excluding from counting in this category are criminal possession of dangerous drugs, DUIs, and failure to register. So what this means is that, in theory, we could have somebody who is convicted for the third or subsequent time of felony theft. You'll remember earlier in the session we made vehicle theft a felony. And that could come with this persistent felony offender under supervision designation. So now we have somebody who is facing, admittedly with a judge's discretion, up to 100 years in prison for a third felony theft while under supervision. And I will note, I don't disagree that in some of these cases there is a need for accountability, but I will note that people in this situation, they're in trouble. They are being charged with a felony. They are likely having probation or parole being revoked. This is somebody who is going to be facing some serious consequences. What we're doing here, frankly, in my opinion, is we're really piling on, and we're creating an additional stackable offense that could be used to maybe tip a plea bargain for somebody who is facing that felony, that third felony, but wants to get out from under this persistent felony offender under supervision charge. That sort of thing, I think it just puts a thumb on the scales of justice in a way that really isn't fair. And again, I'll just repeat again, this is not only for violent offenders. This could have the consequences of sweeping up any number of people who, again, I admit, are in trouble, but perhaps don't need to be in quite as much trouble. And I'll just note, again, as we continue to discuss these, our jails are full, our prisons are full. We need to be thinking about additional ways that we can start to move people out of our system and back into productive life and not piling on harsher and harsher penalties when they're not strictly needed. So for these reasons, I do urge a no vote. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Representative Gist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd just like to thank the sponsor, the carrier of this bill. I know that in my community in Great Falls, we're seeing more and more violence, more and more shootings, more and more crime, and in talking to my sheriff several years ago, he said, we have felons that we have to let go and put back out on the street. We don't have room in our jails. He said, and then the next time my officers confront them, we're having shootouts. In the state of Montana, we've had several in the past several months. It's a threat to our communities. It's a threat to our law enforcement. So by being able to maybe hold these in a facility longer, we are protecting our citizens. We are protecting our law enforcement. So thank you, Mr. Carrier.
Thank you for the discussion. Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to first flag the fact that this is a bill that is coming at the request of the Criminal Justice Oversight Council. That's significant because that's a pretty diverse group of participants in the administration of justice who have seen fit to recommend that we adopt this. And it's done in the backdrop that I think is too often already forgotten, that in 2017 we had this status on the books, but in the Justice Reinvestment Act, we got rid of this status. And it has been something that has been a burr under the saddle of people in law enforcement ever since. And that's because, as you can see in the last section of the bill, you can treat, with this addition, persistent felony offenders differently at sentencing than you can at present in the absence of this statute. The only other thing that I wanted to say is, with respect to the definition on page 18, I want to make sure that everyone understands that if the only offenses that the defendant has been convicted of are theft offenses, they wouldn't be eligible. Because as you can see on page 3, lines 8, 9, and 10, there has to have been a sexual offense or a violent offense as one of the two prior felonies that for which the defendant has been convicted before the third offense at issue in a present case. So this is essentially just reflecting that recidivist behavior suggests that the chances that that person is going to recidivate again are higher, and we want to make sure we treat that person differently in the criminal justice system. If they have a criminal offense that's sexual and or violent in nature, that is an aggravating factor that should get them more time on the third offense. And so this is good common sense legislation. Please go green.
There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, this is an important bill. Again, the people that this bill focuses are a menace to society. They leave a wake of destruction. They leave a wave of destruction all around them. I know it breaks every mama's heart when it's their little boy or little girl that gets found guilty or the judge issues the guilty verdict. But by the time the judge says guilty, 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 at some point, her heart's broken, not for her little boy or her little girl that's now an adult menace to society. I believe her heart's broken for all the harm that her child has caused. This is an important bill. I think we've well vetted the bill. Again, it's worth noting on page 4, lines 5 and 6, the third offense can't just be possession of drugs, like they were caught with some meth in their pocket. And I shouldn't say just in there, but DUI, again, they're just a random lawnmower getting thrown amidst us. We can't have these people around us. They need to be locked away. Please, lock these folks away. Vote green on Senate Bill 96.
Question now arises on the motion of Representative Durham that when this body does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 96, I recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 73 representatives have voted aye, 27 have voted no.
Senate Bill 96 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 105. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 105, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled, an act prohibiting rent control of private property and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Lear?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 105, I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lear.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 105 prohibits local governments from establishing rent control ordinances on residential or commercial property. Although rent control ordinances are intended to help reduce housing costs, they actually have a detrimental effect on housing stock. First, rent control has been shown to lead to an overall reduction in housing because people do not want to rent property for below the market rate. Second, rent control leads to a reduction in housing property and quality because people do not want to invest in keeping up their property. Rent control is not good public policy. Please support this bill.
Thank you, members. Is there discussion on the bill, Representative Bishop?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, well, first of all, we spend a lot of time in Judiciary Committee, and I feel like you guys are getting a little taste of it with this little suite of bills, so welcome to Judiciary. But I'm rising. There's a trend that I've noticed this session that feels a little different, and that comes in Judiciary, and also I serve in local government, that I have sort of just personally called the prohibition bills. Like, we're just prohibiting lots of things. Sometimes it's the prohibition of prohibitions. And this, to me, feels like it's in that realm. And just doing my quick search, I don't have enough fingers to count the number that have done that. And in particular, I could use both hands. I need both hands to count the number that are going after local government in particular. And okay, so it's not a big deal. It's not really a huge consequence, because ultimately this isn't really happening in Montana. And actually a lot of the things that we've gone after aren't happening in Montana. I guess the harm that I see in that is that we have a very real problem with housing in particular. And I think we're kidding ourselves when we think that by adding some code clutter saying that local governments can't do something, that we're somehow solving the problem, when we're solving a problem that doesn't even exist, and meanwhile, we're not solving the one that actually exists. And so I feel like when we're talking to local governments about what they need in regard to housing, they are saying, would you please put more tools in our toolbox and let us figure out how we're going to use them. And what we've done instead, I think, is taken lots of opportunities to take tools out of the toolbox and said, don't even think about using that one. And I'm not sure that we're really solving the problem that they have. So for that reason, I'm going to say no to this. Vote your conscience on it. But if you're with me and you're a little tired of prohibition, because we all know how that worked out earlier on in the century, let's please say no.
Further discussion, Representative Nikolakakos.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. I don't see this as prohibiting something. I see it as enshrining a fundamental right, which is the right to private property. Very simple to me. States around us and local governments here have tried. States around us do have rent control. I think it's against the core values of Montana. I think this is a very good bill. Please vote green. Thank you.
Thank you. There being no further discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to hit on a couple things here, just because something hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't happen in the future. I run a small business. I never look behind me. I always try to look in front of me. If there's a problem coming, I want to solve it. So I believe this is good policy for the state of Montana, and as the speaker said right before me, I believe this enshrines our private property rights, that whether it's the state or local government, they shouldn't control how much we charge for something that's ours. So vote green.
The question now arises on the motion of Representative Lear that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 105 and recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 70 representatives have voted aye. 30 have voted no.
Senate Bill 105 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration Senate Bill 106. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 106, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled, an act generally revising vehicle and vessel title transfer laws, adding definitions to include manufactured homes and mobile homes with the certificate that has been issued as eligible for non-probate transfers by use of a beneficiary designation form, amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Carter?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this good body does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 106, that it recommends Senate Bill 106 be concurred in.
Representative Carter.
Members of the body, last session this legislation enacted a bill that allowed for people to transfer a vehicle upon death using the transfer of death certificate. This allowed people to transfer a vehicle straight to another person without having to go through the probate process. Senate Bill 106 adds some additional property to these transfer items. The bill updates the definition to allow other vehicles, manufactured homes, mobile homes, and other property. And with that, Mr. Chair, I do move that Senate Bill 106.1.3 be posted and deemed read.
So ordered, Representative Carter.
Mr. Chair, this bill added manufactured homes. Talking with the bill sponsor in the Senate, we noted that camper trailers were not added to there. And so this amendment just adds camp trailers to that. So now virtually any item that you have a bill of or a title from the Department of Justice can now be transferred to another person upon your death with the transfer of title. And with that, Mr. Chair, I will ask for a green light and sit for questions.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, does the amendment sponsor wish to close? The amendment sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the amendment of Representative Carter. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
The amendment has passed. Returning to the bill, is there discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Carter that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 106, it recommend the same do pass or be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Representative Reed. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate Bill 106 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 113. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 113, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Child Abuse and Neglect Laws to make permanent the requirement that additional notifications be provided to a parent or legal guardian from whom a child is removed, amending section and providing an effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Obliter?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 113, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Obliter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. So this bill, if you look on the front page, you'll see on line 12 it says temporary. This bill was originally drafted back in 2021, and it had a end date on it of June 30th of this year. What this bill does, a contingent voidance. So what this bill does is it takes, and if you'll turn over to the next page on page three, line 17, you'll see it's that exact same language that is on page 1, 2, and the top half of 3. The exact same language starts on line 17. So what we're doing is we're removing that voidance that would happen on June 30th of this year. This makes it permanent. And in addition to that, we add some language down in lines 25, 26, and 28 on page 3. And what it amounts to is it just gives some more protection for Emergency Protective Services. It allows for a hearing within 5 days, so there's not a delay in a hearing on what the show cause might be. And then also, depending on the requirements, there's a show cause hearing that happens 20 days after that. It also adds some language to provide contact information for the child protection specialist, the child protection specialist supervisor in the office of the state public defender. And then down below that, it just adds more language that telling that the parents, guardian, or other person to have a physical or legal custody of that child has the right to receive a copy of the affidavit as prescribed in subsection 6, and it has the right to attend and participate in the Emergency Protective Services hearing and the show cause hearing, including providing statements to the judge as needed. And then down on line 9 of page 4, it says, they may request that the child be placed in a kinship foster home as defined. So that's the changes. It just makes this permanent, and then it does add an effective date of July 1, 23, which is the day after Section 1 on page 1 would expire. With that, I will stand for questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Oblander that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 113 and recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 96 representatives have voted aye, 4 have voted no.
Senate Bill 113 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 128. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 128, introduced by Ellsworth, a bill for an act entitled an act providing that exempt staff of legislative leadership may assist legislators in expressing opinions on statewide ballot issues, amending section, providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Perry?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 128, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Perry.
This is basically a clarification bill. We've had a lot of discussion over the course of this time regarding what we can use fees for and what we can use dollars for and who can use fees and whether the head of our House here can use fees or the head of the Senate can use fees for different things. This just clarifies, if you go to page 2, it just clarifies that the activities of personal staff and legislative leadership who are exempt as provided for in 218-104 related to assisting legislators in expressing opinions on statewide ballot issues involving initiatives, referendums, or constitutional amendments are exempt, so they can assist with that. They can't help them run for an office, but they can help them with referendums. So I would urge agreeing.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there a discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Perry that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 128 that it recommends the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Representative Cafaro. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate Bill 128 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 130. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 130, introduced by Mandeville, a bill for an act entitled an act allowing a board of county commissioners and the governing body of a municipality to consolidate a planning board or planning board, zoning a commission, or board of adjustment. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Zolnikoff?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 130, it recommend the same do pass.
Representative Zolnikoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the body, Senate Bill 130 is a bill that allows local governments to combine their land use boards. In smaller, more rural counties, it can often be difficult to find people to serve on one board, nevertheless multiple. So this is just a tool in the toolbox that allows those local municipalities to combine boards and address some of those vacancies.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Zolnikoff that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 130, I recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye. 1 has voted no.
Senate Bill 130 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 131. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 131, introduced by Mandeville, a bill for an act entitled an act revising local government review requirements of exempt divisions and aggregations of land, requiring the governing body to complete within 20 working days, prohibiting the imposition of a certain new criteria for approval and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Kearns?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 131, it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Kearns.
Senate Bill 131 will place a time limit on the review of exemptions and limit conditions that can be placed on exempt surveys. Exempt surveys are not subject to subdivision review. Similar statutes have time limits except for this. 20 working days mirrors similar verbiage. 1 month is plenty of time. Exempt means exempt, so conditions should not be placed on exempt surveys. Experts in the room and online gave all kinds of great testimony on this, and with that, I would ask for a green light. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Members. Is there a discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Kearns that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 131, I recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate Bill 131 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 132. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 132, introduced by Beard, a bill for an act entitled An Act Enhancing Agricultural Education in Montana, revising the requirements and payments under the Advancing Agricultural Education in Montana program, eliminating a state special revenue account, creating a payment under the program for small schools without approved agricultural education programs that provide agricultural education through alternative means, removing rulemaking authority, amending section, and providing an effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Bergstrom?
Mr. Chair, I move that when the committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill number 132, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Bergstrom.
This bill is, it funds the agricultural education programs around the state. There's some different parts to it. Part of it is that every educational ag ed program in the state is eligible to receive $1,000. They can get an additional $1,000 per year if they go through the process and apply for it, apply a plan of improvement under subsection 3, and this is a national quality program standard. And as a former ag ed teacher, that is, it's a quite extensive piece of work to fill out. I never really enjoyed it, but for the $1,000, it was worth doing. And anyway, that's this bill funds the ag ed programs. It also has a thing in here that if a school does not have an ag ed program and wants to start one up, they can get $7,500 the first year there to get that program going, buy equipment and all the things that are needed. I'll stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Members. Is there discussion on the bill? There being none, does the sponsor wish to close?
Yes, I will close, and I do want to thank the House here, House members, for funding Ag Ed. We appreciate it. We need that extra money to run these programs. Thank you very much.
Question now arises on the motion of Representative Bergstrom that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 132, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Representatives Nicole, Jones, Kassmeyer. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 82 representatives have voted aye, 17 have voted no.
Senate Bill 132 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 158. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 158, introduced by Ellsworth, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Family Transfer Law, providing an exemption from additional subdivision reviews if certain conditions are met, providing an evidentiary standard for court proceedings, providing a penalty, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Brewster?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 158, it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Brewster.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, this bill deals with the part of Code 763207, divisions or aggregations of land exempted from review. And it specifically puts some pieces of language in there that deals with family transfers. If you look on page 2 at the bottom, Says the division within a platted sub is exempt from several things, and the lineup is it's within a subdivision that has been approved by a local governing body, creates parcels of land, parcels of a size allowed within the subdivision, and is gifted or sold to a family member of the landowner's immediately family. An amended plat must be filed with the county clerk and quarter after a division is provided in the subsection listed. It has a couple of more parts of it on page 3. Except as otherwise provided in the subsection, a restriction or requirement on the platted subdivision continues to apply and is allowed in the subsection. Division of land is exempted and is also located in a zoning district allowed if each family member transfer parcel created by the division is at least 5 acres unless the zoning district allows for smaller lot sizes. A division of land transferred to an immediate family member pursuant to the subsection may be transferred regardless of age and may be owned jointly by the immediate family member's spouse. Down at the bottom in section 5 or in 6, immediate family member or spouse, excuse me, of immediate family member who receives a division of land may not transfer or otherwise convey the division of land for a period of up to 2 years. There's some other ones governing variances and those kind of requirements. And frankly, this bill kind of gives people a right to manage what their land does and be able to share it with their family members. I think it's a good bill. It has adequate sideboards, I think, for the process, and I recommend do pass.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there a discussion on the bill? Representative T. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, to speak to the bill.
Representative T. Smith.
I had two. I think the bill on its face looks good, but I had two of my surveyors back in the Flathead that work for two big companies reach out with some concerns about it. They were worried about primarily on page 3, that line 6, that maybe some planning boards might weaponize, you know, their position, because it's hard to show intent for some of these issues when you do a family transfer, and they were just concerned that there might be some weaponization by the planning boards to go after families or developers or people like myself that have done family transfers, trying to find intent that we're trying to commercialize areas that we're really not trying to do. So just go in with eyes wide open that there are some people out there in the surveying and planning arenas that have some issues with this. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion on the bill, Representative Kohenhauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the body. I also rise to say that this is a very concerning bill. We've had a bunch of bills that have come through this legislature and through this House that have actually helped with increasing densities, helping with affordable housing. This is not that bill. This bill will not increase densities, as we've talked about all through this session. This bill exempts from covenants things that are on the lot sizes, water and sewer capacity. It does not allow for any public input. In the bill that we passed yesterday, there was actually notification to the neighbors so that they could ask a governing body to have a look at something. This bill doesn't include that. There is no mitigation for impacts on private properties that are surrounding these parcels. It exempts these parcels from the county subdivision review without any of that notification. It encourages further development outside existing communities, so we're getting sprawl instead of density increases, which we've talked about all session long. This is going to exacerbate water, sewer, and traffic problems in our growing areas. And this is not going to help affordable housing. Affordable housings are not typically found on 5-acre parcels, and you'll see in the bill that it says at least 5 acres. We're not increasing that. It was concerning the planners, the surveyors, a bunch of them came in against this bill because they didn't believe it was going to solve the problems that we've talked about in this place over and over to get more affordable housing on the ground. I hope you'll vote no.
Thank you, Representative. Is there further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do. I know there are some who have explained some of their concerns, but this is really about you as a owner of the property wanting to have one of your family members live next to you for whatever reason. Maybe you have a an area and one of your kids wants to stay close, take care of you in your old age. It's really an issue of private property rights. As I said, I think there's adequate sideboards on this bill. Everybody wants to control everything we do with our own property and have somebody else try and manage it for us. And I think in this case, where it's a family transfer, I think the sideboards are reasonable, and I would encourage you to pass.
Question now arises on the motion of Representative Brewster that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 158, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes no.
Has every member voted? Representative Kassmeyer. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 65 representatives have voted aye, 34 have voted no.
Senate Bill 158 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 162. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 162, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled, an act providing that foster parents, pre-adoptive parents, or relatives caring for children in child abuse and neglect proceedings be informed by the Department of Public Health and Human Services of the ability to appear, to be heard, and to intervene in court proceedings and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative L. Smith?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration SB 162, that the same be concurred in.
Representative L. Smith.
Members of the body, this is a pretty straightforward bill. It ensures that whenever a child is placed with a foster parent, pre-adoptive parent, or relative, that the department will provide written notice explaining their rights to receive notice, to appear and be heard in court, and to attempt to intervene in the proceedings. So really what the bill is about is ensuring that foster families and those who are caring for children who may be relatives, that they really understand the process that they're involved in. So in the child welfare system. And this often comes up in being notified of court proceedings. These court proceedings can really be an unvarnished window into what's going on with the case, so that foster families and their relatives can really understand what's happening. And so lastly, I'll just say that it's really tough when foster families don't know what's going on in a hearing or don't know hearing dates, when they're really busy juggling other parts of their lives, including the needs of the kids. So visitation, transportation, medical appointments, CPS check-ins, and just life as we know it. And so involving foster parents, pre-adoptive parents, and relatives, and giving them notice of what's going on in cases really recognizes their important role in the child welfare system and in the child's life. I urge a green vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Is there discussion on the bill, Representative Minor?
Speak to the bill.
Representative Minor.
Being familiar in this area, it is very important. This is a very important bill. Having been involved as a foster parent and a guardian ad litem, this always hasn't been done. And it's very important for the parents know, you know, because they're represented in court, the birth parents. But it's very important that the foster families do know what's going on. So I urge you to vote green.
Thank you, members. Is there further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor asks close. The question now arises on the motion of Representative L. Smith that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 162, I recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 96 representatives have voted aye, 3 have voted no.
Senate Bill 162 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 166. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 166, introduced by Lynch, a bill for an act entitled, an act exempting barbering services provided at state correctional facilities and county detention centers from licensing requirements, amending section, providing immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 166, that the same be concurred in.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the body, today I bring you Senate Bill 166 on behalf of the Department of Corrections. This bill simply seeks to exempt barbering services at our Montana State prisons from licensure. For over 152 years, prisoners at our Montana prisons, inmates have provided barber service to other inmates. Between the Montana State Prison and the Montana Women's Prison, we have 6 inmate barber positions, which provide thousands of haircuts a year to all of our inmates. Inmates apply for these positions and are vetted by the Department of Corrections prior to filling these positions. Usually preference is preferred to those that have experience. At both of our prisons, we have facilities that look just like your normal barber shop. And why we need this bill today is because over the last biennium, there was a complaint filed by an inmate about the barbers not being licensed. So the Department of Correction did their due diligence and looked into this complaint and found that that was in fact true, that by Montana state law they needed to be licensed. So this bill just seeks to give them an exemption so they can continue on with the tradition that they've been doing for the last 152 years. All the cleaning services, everything is all up to standards, just like a licensed barbershop. So I urge you to do green. This will save us about $250,000 over the next biennium. That would be the cost if we had to contract this out. Go green.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Harvey that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 166, they recommend the same to be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Hamilton. Any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye. 1 has voted no.
Senate Bill 166 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration Senate Bill 171. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 171, introduced by K. Regeer, a bill for an act entitled an act authorizing the Department of Corrections to distribute an inmate's trust account funds and tangible personal property after an inmate dies while incarcerated and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Jay Hinkle?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does arise and report after having had in consideration Senate Bill 171, that it recommends the same be concurred in.
Representative Hinkle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. Inmate deaths in custody, the vast majority of which occur due to natural causes, there are an unfortunate part of operating a prison. Senate Bill 171 does not address and is not intended to address the disposition of any property assets an inmate might have outside the prison walls. This bill only seeks to provide guidance to the department in the disposition of inmate funds and property within the prison. When an inmate passes away, it is common for he or she to have a couple hundred dollars in his or her inmate trust account. This money could come from several different sources, including earnings at the prison and contributions from family members. The inmate will also have personal items such as clothing, books, personal photos, and the like. We need to honor the inmate's wishes in regards to who receives this property upon death, and currently there is no statute that speaks directly to the disposition of inmate property, and the process used currently is to provide a form for the inmate to indicate how he or she would like the remaining property in the prison distributed. Pretty easy bill. Hope for it to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Hinkle that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 171, it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 98 representatives have voted aye, 2 have voted no.
Senate Bill 171 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration Senate Bill 203. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 203, introduced by Bogner, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the law for the transfer of critical infrastructure and agricultural land, prohibiting the sale, lease, or rental of critical infrastructure or land used for agricultural production to foreign adversaries or corporations domiciled in foreign adversary nations, and providing definitions. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Perry?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 203, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Perry.
For all of you that have gray sheets, Paul Green and I kind of switched bodies, so you're going to have to deal with it. This is a fairly important bill. Senate Bill 203 prohibits the purchase of agricultural production land from entering into agreements with critical infrastructure with foreign adversaries and the companies headquartered in them. As the great power competition with certain nations grows, we need to be doing our part as a state to protect our country. We need to be proactive in preventing our adversaries from gaining advantages and influence in espionage and in preventing any advantages to engage in asymmetrical warfare. Prohibiting adversaries from entering into agreements for critical infrastructure helps us do that. So who are these adversaries? The list of foreign adversaries in this bill is determined by the U.S. Secretary of Commerce through an executive order. They are currently China, North Korea, Russia, Iran, Cuba, and the Venezuelan Maduro regime. This is the federal government identifying our adversaries. The federal government determines foreign policy, and it's saying that we should not trust these countries, especially with our critical infrastructure. And this bill includes ag production land as essential as our defined critical infrastructure. Agriculture supports our economy here in Montana and is important to the food security of our country. We need to be securing our borders against those countries that may want to do us harm, and this is one way we in Montana can help that. So before I finish, and I know it's kind of been a long day, but this is important, I'd like to talk to you about three essential parts. The first prohibits the purchase of ag production and critical infrastructure with foreign adversaries. That portion was taken out of Texas law, and it was added in for us. And the second part requires divestiture if violating this law, and that's taken out of North Dakota law. And then the third is identifying our foreign adversaries, which references Executive Order 13873 for that definition. Using those current laws guarantees we're not going to go back to court because they've already been vetted there. Our adversaries are becoming more sophisticated in how they compete with and threaten the United States economically and culturally and militarily. While national security is primarily the responsibility of the federal government, keeping our adversaries from buying our critical parts of Montana is something we can achieve at the state level with Senate Bill 203. I do appreciate and strongly encourage your support for this bill.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill, Representative France?
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I rise in support of this bill, but for some different reasons. Earlier this session, I introduced a resolution condemning Russia and condemning their President Putin for invading the Ukraine, and asked that this body go on record opposing that invasion. The resolution was tabled in committee. And now I rise in support of this bill because Russia is one of the countries that's listed on the State Department advisory that would be barred from ownership in Montana under this bill. And for me, I think that is an important signal for Montana to send. I think we should place it within the context of the barbaric war that's going on in Eastern Europe right now, a war of aggression against a democracy that has been struggling to move forward. And so as you list in your mind the reasons why this is a good bill, I hope you will put Russia and its behavior against Ukraine as one of the reasons why you're pushing a green vote. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Is there further discussion on the bill? There being none, does the sponsor wish to close?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a nation, we need to focus our national security to strategically engage with China for the long term. Our goal needs to be both to move away from the dependence on China for our goods and manufacturing capabilities while also avoiding direct conflict with China. We do not need another endless foreign war, but we should be pushing back on human rights violations, intellectual property theft, and the invasion of America's privacy. Implementing policies like Senate Bill 203 is an action we can take to communicate our resolve and displeasure without engaging in military tactics that escalate tensions between our nations or increase the risk of miscalculation by either side. Please vote green.
Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Perry that when this commission or committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 203, it recommends the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye. Zero have voted no.
Senate Bill 203 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 213. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 213, introduced by McClafferty, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Laws Related to School Safety, requiring annual review of school safety or emergency operations plans by school district trustees, clarifying the ability to use school safety funds for community-wide programs and training, requiring county or regional interdisciplinary child information and school safety teams to adopt written agreements for operations, amending section and providing an effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Romano?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 213, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Romano.
Thank you. Members of the body, Senate Bill 213 is an act revising laws related to school safety. In 2019, the legislature passed Senate Bill 35, which had the county commissioners of each county form a county or regional interdisciplinary child information and school safety team. This bill adds some language to clarify language from that 2019 bill. The bill adds language that school trustees will review school safety or emergency operations plan annually instead of periodically. And following that language, you'll also see on page 2 of the bill some additional language requiring school trustees to identify a threat assessment team comprised of interdisciplinary members. That interdisciplinary team has been stipulated in state law for several years, but the consistent implementation of this team from county to county is lacking. Some teams have been created and have been working well for several years, while other county teams have never really been established, even though the state law has been in place for numerous legislative sessions. These teams, along with a detailed process and plan, has been proven to be one of the key strategies in preventing school violence. This bill would require some additional accountability as well related to the written agreements that would establish these teams in every county. With the changes that have been made, school districts will continue to work with their county emergency agencies to adopt a school safety plan that will need to be evaluated at least annually. Once the plan has been submitted to the county school superintendent, the superintendent shall then send a copy of the written agreement to the Office of Public Instruction no later than September 1st. These are good changes, and I ask for a due pass.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? There being none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Romano that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 213, I recommend the same do be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Representative Nave, has any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 82 representatives have voted aye, 18 have voted no.
Senate Bill 213 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 214. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 214, introduced by McClafferty, a bill for an act entitled An Act Enacting the Audiology and Speech Language Pathology Interstate Compact, providing for criminal background checks of applicants and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Buttrey?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise a report after having under consideration Senate Bill 214, it recommends the same be concurred in.
Representative Buttrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This bill enacts Audiology and Speech Language Pathology Interstate Compact. And the goal of the compact is to improve public access to audiology and speech language pathology services through the use of an interstate licensure process. This is set up much the same as the other compacts already passed through this body, where access, public health, and safety are all enhanced. This compact preserves state licensing ability, regulatory control and enforcement, and benefits our active duty military families. I'd ask for a green light, please.
Thank you, Representative Members. Is there discussion on the bill? There being none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The motion now arises. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Buttrey that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 214, I recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote, Representative Sprunger? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 97 representatives have voted aye, 3 have voted no.
Senate Bill 214 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration Senate Bill 234. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 234, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Laws Related to the Installation of Vending Machines on State Highway Right-of-Way, authorizing the Department to issue an invitation for bid and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Baum?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 234, that it recommend this, it be concurred in.
Representative Baum.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 234 looks to install vending machines at rest areas by contracting with a blind vendor, with the addition that they be allowed to issue an invitation for bid subject to preference to blind persons. So blind vendor under Title 18 is basically Montana's adoption of the Randolph-Shepard Act, which is a federal act that gave preference to those with visual disabilities, preference in operating vending machines at federal facilities, and now with Montana's adoption to allow them to do the same here in our state. Traveling as much as we do back and forth in session, using the rest areas, also anyone that travels with children, you can't always plan bathroom breaks, what have you. This was supported very much by the Montana Trucking Association, because when truck drivers are out of hours, they have to park where they usually park the rest areas. It would be nice and convenient that they would be able to have access to vending machines. The legislative intent, and this was well vetted in Transportation Committee, is that it's food, beverage type products that would be available. And I will stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? There being none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Bond that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 234, we recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 95 representatives have voted aye, 5 have voted no.
Senate Bill 234 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 237. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 237, introduced by Vance, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Laws Related to Water Quality, requiring that development plans be approved by the Department of Environmental Quality before additional connections to public water and wastewater systems may be authorized, requiring the approval of a development plan before the approval of certain subdivisions, providing rulemaking authority, providing definitions, and revising a definition, amending section, providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Itten?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 237, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Majority Leader Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 237 applies to municipalities with existing water and sewer systems and gives them the ability to sell future connections for development, provided they adhere to a development plan as described within the bill on page 2. As long as the municipality remains in compliance with their development plan, which is approved by the Department of Environmental Quality, they can sell future connections and increase their water and sewer capacity. As a final safety check, a condition is placed on the preliminary plat that says the municipality won't issue the final plat approval until DEQ has approved all conditions of the development plan have been met and that there is capacity. I urge a green vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Is there discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Vinton that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 237, who recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Representative Reed. Any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate Bill 237 has been concurred in. On second reading, members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 240. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 240, introduced by Small, a bill for an act entitled An Act Exempting Certain Subdivisions from Environmental Review, requiring the Department of Environmental Quality to adopt rules, providing rulemaking authority, and providing an immediate effective date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Malone?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 240, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Malone.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, Senate Bill 240 is about streamlining the work being done by DEQ's engineering staff and helping them continue to be on time and review files while still issuing defensible and protective subdivision approvals. This bill would apply only to small subdivisions that are located 2 or more miles from state high-quality waters. Meet the criteria on page 1, lines 13 through 16 of the bill. These subdivisions are determined to be non-significant under the Water Quality Act for the purposes of non-degradation and could not be approved without full compliance with all the DEQ design standards and rules, requirements of the Montana Water Quality Act and Sanitation and Subdivisions Act. Importantly, this exemption does not apply to subdivisions that expand or are adjacent to other projects that have been exempted from MEPA. Because of that, DEQ does not anticipate that these subdivisions would have significant impacts, and it makes sense to exempt them from MEPA. This bill is supported by DEQ. Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Malone that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 240 that it recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes no.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 69 representatives have voted aye, 31 have voted no.
Senate Bill 240 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 244. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 244, introduced by Cuff, a bill for an act entitled, An Act Revising Laws Related to Mortuary Signs Licensing, Revising Internship Requirements to Obtain a License Required for the Practice of Mortuary Science, Amending Section, and Providing an Effective Date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Buttrey?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rises and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 214, you recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Buttrey.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate Bill 214 is a bill brought at the request of our state morticians and funeral owners. This bill simply allows for a mortician licensed candidate to serve in an internship role under the supervision of a licensed mortician at the same time as pursuing their education and prior to taking board-required exams. Because most mortician education is performed out of state, and other states allow internship during education, a candidate now upon moving to Montana has to repeat the internship before licensing as a mortician. This proves to be a barrier that makes Montana unattractive for licensure. This bill solves the problem and will help mitigate the shortage of licensed morticians in the state. I'd ask for a green light.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak to the bill.
Representative Sheldon Galloway.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a brother that wanted to be a mortician in the worst way. I don't understand it, but he wanted to be a mortician so bad. And he kept applying to go to a school outside of the state, which is where you have to go, and never quite made the cut. And so he went and sat at the school as he was working another job. And about a couple years later, and with some experience of working for a mortuary, I was finally accepted and got his certificate to be a mortician. And he's a great mortician if you ever need services. And he always says, you know, it's so nice to see you, Lola, and I'm glad you're looking back at me. So this is a good bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Is there further discussion on the bill? There being none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Buttrey that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 244, recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 99 representatives have voted aye. One has voted no.
Senate Bill 244 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now before you for your consideration, Senate Bill 254. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 254, introduced by Bogner, a bill for an act entitled An Act Removing an Exemption from Post-Election Audit for Counties that Tabulate Their Votes by Hand, Providing Rulemaking Authority, Amending Section, Providing an Immediate Effective Date. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Perry?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 254, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Representative Perry.
You know, when I taught down in the prisons in Texas, I used to start out and I'd read everything monotone, one word at a time, until they glazed over. And so I figure I'm not going to do that since it's late in the day. We've had a lot of conversation about election integrity and about making sure that after the votes are done, that we make sure that everything is good and that it's certified correctly. Well, this particular bill says in the past, if you actually are a small enough county, so don't pick on the rural counties, but if you're a small enough county and you already hand count, that you don't have to go back and hand count as a way to certify it. And so this takes that out and says, doesn't matter whether you're big or small, they tell you to recertify it, do a hand count, then you're to hand count. So all this does is put hand counting for those back in to certify the elections. Pretty simple. I recommend do pass.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? There being no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close? There being no discussion, does the sponsor wish to close?
Oh, yeah.
Sponsor has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Representative Perry that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 254, recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 98 representatives have voted aye, 2 have voted no.
Senate Bill 254 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 260. The clerk will read the title of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 260, introduced by Solomon, a bill for an act entitled an act exempting certain insurers from unfair claim settlement practice requirements, exempting captive insurance entities except for risk retention groups, and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Buttrey?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise report after having under consideration Senate Bill 260, it recommends the same be concurred in.
Representative Buttrey.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate Bill 260 aligns Montana's Unfair Trade Practice Act with the U.S. Model Captive Insurance Code by eliminating application of an independent right of action against captive insurance and self-insured entities. The reason to do this is pretty simple. There is no conflict of interest between insured and the insurer. They're the same party. Why would you sue yourself? This does not apply to captive risk retention groups, as they are captives that can have multiple owners. So in those cases, the potential for conflict does exist. I'd ask for a green light.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? There being none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. Question now arises on the motion of Representative Buttrie that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 260, recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate Bill 260 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 263. The clerk will read the title.
Mr. Chair, Senate Bill number 263, introduced by Kay Regeer, a bill for an act entitled An Act Revising Airport Authority Contracting Laws, allowing authorities to enter into certain contracts, leases, and arrangements for 50 years and amending section. Mr. Chair.
What is your pleasure, Representative Logie?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration Senate Bill 263, that it recommend the same do concur.
Representative Logie.
Mr. Chair and body, what this bill does, it extends the allowance for airport authorities to put their lease out to 50 years instead of 40 years, and it basically puts them in compliance with the Federal Aviation Administration compliance manual. So it's just changing it, their lease terms from 40 years to 50, extending it out. Green, please.
Thank you, Representative. Members, is there discussion on the bill? Seeing none, does the sponsor wish to close? Sponsor is closed. The question now arises on the motion of Representative Logie that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration Senate Bill 263, I recommend the same do pass or be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Are there absentee votes?
Mr. Chair, Representative Essman votes aye. Representative Weatherwax votes aye.
Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chair, 100 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate Bill 263 has been concurred in on second reading. The chair recognizes Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You have heard the motion of Majority Leader Vinton. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, we are Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, recommend as follows.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the committee report.
You've heard the motion to adopt the committee report. All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 92 representatives have voted aye, 4 have voted no.
Committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Hopkins. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 8, introduced by O'Brien, a bill for an act entitled Revised Transformational Learning Program Laws.
Senate Bill 8 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 82 representatives have voted aye, 14 have voted no.
Senate Bill 8 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 42, introduced by Heimbaugh, a bill for an act entitled to revise laws related to easements on state lands.
Senate Bill 42 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate Bill 42 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 83, introduced by Cuff, a bill for an act entitled Create Western Montana Conservation Commission.
Senate Bill 83 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye, 0 have voted no.
Senate Bill 83 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 112, introduced by McGilvery, a bill for an act entitled Revised Pharmacist Prescribing Authority.
Senate Bill 112 has been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 66 representatives have voted aye, 31 have voted no.
Senate Bill 112 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 115, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Definition of Psychological Abuse or Neglect in CPS Cases.
Senate Bill 115 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 75 representatives have voted aye, 22 have voted no.
Senate Bill 115 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 116, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Confidentiality Provisions Related to Child Protective Services Cases.
Senate Bill 116 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 81 representatives have voted aye, 16 have voted no.
Senate Bill 116 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 133, introduced by McGilvery, a bill for an act entitled Generally Review Gambling Laws Related to Parimutuel Wagering.
Senate Bill 133 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 96 representatives have voted aye, one has voted no.
Senate Bill 133 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 144, introduced by Temple, a bill for an act entitled Revised Helmet Requirement Regarding Completely Enclosed Autocycles.
Senate Bill 144 has been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 97 representatives have voted aye, zero have voted no.
Senate Bill 144 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 149, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled Established Penalties for False Reporting in Child Protective Services Cases.
Senate Bill 149 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 70 representatives have voted aye, 27 have voted no.
Senate Bill 149 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 151, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Related to Parental Financial Responsibility in CPS Cases.
Senate Bill 151 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 79 representatives have voted aye, 18 have voted no.
Senate Bill 151 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 152, introduced by Mandeville, a bill for an act entitled Revised Minor Subdivision Laws.
Senate Bill 152 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 97 representatives have voted aye, zero have voted no.
Senate Bill 152 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 167, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled Revised Nonprofit Corporation Laws Related to Directors.
Senate Bill 167 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 89 representatives have voted aye, 8 have voted no.
Senate Bill 167 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 170, introduced by Mandeville, a bill for an act entitled Allow for Administrative Minor Subdivision Process.
Senate Bill 170 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 93 representatives have voted aye, 4 have voted no.
Senate Bill 170 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 181, introduced by Lenz, a bill for an act entitled Require Notice of Parent Legal Rights in Child Protective Services Cases.
Senate Bill 181 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 67 representatives have voted aye, 29 have voted no.
Senate Bill 181 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 195, introduced by Trebus, a bill for an act entitled Exempt Certain Structures from Building Code Fire Sprinkler Requirement.
Senate Bill 195 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 74 representatives have voted aye, 23 have voted no.
Senate Bill 195 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 201, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Judicial Recusal Laws When Parties Made Campaign Contributions.
Senate Bill 201 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 65 representatives have voted aye, 31 have voted no.
Senate Bill 201 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 209, introduced by Hertz, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Related to Montana Distilleries.
Senate Bill 209 have been read three several times. The question is, should a bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 90 representatives have voted aye, 6 have voted no.
Senate Bill 209 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 219, introduced by Curdy, a bill for an act entitled Revised Wildfire Suppression Laws.
Senate Bill 219 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 92 representatives have voted aye, 4 have voted no.
Senate Bill 219 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 221, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled Allow USS Montana Crew to Apply for License Plates.
Senate Bill 221 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 95 representatives have voted aye, 2 have voted no.
Senate Bill 221 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 247, introduced by Fitzpatrick, a bill for an act entitled Revised Covenant Laws.
Senate Bill 247 has been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 58 representatives have voted aye, 39 have voted no.
Senate Bill 247 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 255, introduced by Pope, a bill for an act entitled Revising Electric Vehicle Charging Station Laws.
Senate Bill 255 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 35 representatives have voted aye, 62 have voted no.
Senate Bill 255 has failed to pass the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 373, introduced by Solomon, a bill for an act entitled Provide for Alternative Teacher Crediting.
Senate Bill 373 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 75 representatives have voted aye, 22 have voted no.
Senate Bill 373 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 374, introduced by Curdy, a bill for an act entitled Revised Local Government Public Document Retention.
Senate Bill 374 has been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 71 representatives have voted aye, 26 have voted no.
Senate Bill 374 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 448, introduced by Cuff, a bill for an act entitled Clarify Law on Immediate Attendance for Slash Burning.
Senate Bill 448 have been read three several times. The question is, should the bill be passed by the House? All those in favor vote aye, and those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the clerk record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 95 representatives have voted aye, 1 has voted no.
Senate Bill 448 has passed the House.
That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Members, without objection, will revert to order business number 2, reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on Judiciary, recommend that Senate Bills 218, 224, 294, 419, 459, 488 be concurred in, 38, 443, 490, 499 be concurred in as amended, signed to Representative Amy Regeer, Chair. Mr. Speaker, we, your Committee on Legislative Administration, recommend that Senate Bills 485 be concurred in, 278 be concurred in as amended, signed to Representative Caleb Hinkle, Chair. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Members, without objection, will revert to order business number 6, first reading commitment of bills.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bills 14, 122, 160, 253, 272, 296, 298, 334, 440, 506, 507, 510, 516, 518, 521, 522, 523, 524, 528, 529, 530, 531, 533, 534, 535, 536, 538, 540, 543, 544, 550, 554, 555, 557, 558, 559, 561, 563, 564, 565, and 566 have been read first time and referred to committee. All are posted. That is all, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 28, provide funding for conservation districts, to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 60, establish enterprise fund for Montana's spatial real-time network, to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 95, generally revised theft laws, to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 132, revised agricultural education laws, to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, I move to re-refer Senate Bill 294, establish the end of watch trust, to the Appropriations Committee. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, I move to suspend the joint rules to move the following transmittal deadline dates. Number one, transmittal of amendments to general bills for from Legislative Day 73 to Legislative Day 76. Number two, transmittal of amendments to appropriation bills and revenue bills and bills proposing referenda from Legislative Day 80 to Legislative Day 82. Number three, transmittal of amendments to revenue estimating joint resolutions from Day 82 to Legislative Day 83. Number four, transmittal of interim study resolutions from Legislative Day 85 to Legislative Day 84. Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Dooling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to make a motion.
Representative Dooling.
Mr. Speaker and members of the House, I'd like to move the House reconsider its actions on House Bill 847, the license plate brand bill, and place it on third reading tomorrow, April 6th, the 69th legislative day, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, reconsider motion. It's majority present in voting. All those in favor, vote aye. Ready? Oh. Okay. Just give me the thumbs up. All those in favor of reconsider actions on House Bill 847, vote aye. Opposed, vote no. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Speaker, 47 representatives have voted aye, 51 have voted no.
Motion has failed. Order business number 10, unfinished business.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 11, special orders of the day.
None, Mr. Speaker.
Order business number 12, announcement of committee meetings. Representative Zolnikoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Energy will meet today at 3:45. We have two bills.
Representative Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Human Services will meet 3:35. Please check into Judiciary if you need to help get a quorum. They'll be downstairs in a regular room.
Representative Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Judiciary upon adjournment as soon as we can get a quorum, room 137.
Representative Buttrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Business and Labor tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 137. 172, whatever.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Appropriations as soon as we have a quorum.
Representative Logie.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Transportation upon adjournment when we get a quorum.
Representative Dooling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House State Administration tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Thank you.
Representative Brewster.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Local government tomorrow, 3 p.m., two bills.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's no education, House Education meeting today.
Majority Leader Vinton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn and reconvene Thursday, the 69th legislative day at 1 p.m.
All those in favor say aye. Aye. All those opposed, no, and the ayes have it. And the House will reconvene at 1 p.m. on Thursday, April 6th. The House is adjourned.